this came out Friday, a five-part plan for restructuring the way government handles IT. It was laid out on Friday by the Office of Management and Budget. Jeffrey Zients, the Chief Performance Officer at OMB, he says action plans in place that will impact IT acquisition managers and project managers. Federal News Radio's Scott Carr was at the event on Friday at the Northern Virginia Technology Council, where Jeffrey Zients made this announcement.
Despite spending more than $600 billion on information technology across the last decade, the federal government has failed to realize the potential of IT. Too often, IT projects run over budget, behind schedule, or fail to deliver their promised functionality. A situation that frustrates everyone involved, from taxpayers and members of Congress to agency leaders and federal IT managers to members of the technology industry, including, I'm sure, many of you here today. Fixing IT is central to everything we're trying to do across government. IT is our top priority.
Jeffrey Zients, the Chief Performance Officer. He's also joining me is Jason Miller and Scott Carr. He's still the acting director, right? And I know Jacob Lew has been approved by the Congress,
but confirmed. I don't know if he's been sworn in.
Hold on, you're
wrong, Mike.
There we go.
Yeah, I don't know if he. I know he's been confirmed by the Senate. I don't think he's been sworn in yet. I haven't seen anything about that.
Yeah,
usually
so
they'll tell
it takes
you
a couple days. Yeah, usually they make a big deal about it. Anyway, Jeffrey Zients, I really wish he would stop saying that they haven't gotten any benefit from IT, because that's just blatantly not true.
And something that I've talked to him about, you've talked about, I think other people have talked to him about, and said, there are problems. Yes, it's not perfect. No. But no benefit from IT? They're
right.
Not using manual typewriters with corrector tape, are they?
It's a ludicrous statement, and they just need to stop doing it. And I don't really get why they are. But anyway, Scott Carr, you were actually at this event, and he laid out, Jeffrey Zients laid out five essential areas that they're focused on.
That's right. A lot of what Zients had to say, and actually Federal CIO Vivek Kundra was there too. He made a brief appearance, similar to things I guess we've heard before related to IT acquisition. A couple of new ideas in there, though. The first time, as Jason Miller has pointed out, the administration has specifically said they want to develop requirements for IT program managers. His hope, Zients' hope, is that that'll attract and develop a professional core of managers, and he wants to ensure that agencies, as he puts it, hardwire effective program management teams within the structure of projects as well. Going forward, OMB, he said, would not greenlight any major IT projects until the senior leadership signed off on it and a complete and dedicated integrated project team is in place. And they started up these tech stat sessions, and that's part of the solution, too. They want to bring together all stakeholders, as Zients says, both technology and business line owners, to try and come up with what's needed to make a project run better and cheaper.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Jason, they've put these tech stat, describe to folks what these tech stat plans are, because not everyone follows this nearly as closely as we do.
Basically, the idea is to bring together the financial people, the acquisition people, the technology people.
The deciders. Yeah.
And then also OMB, all into one room and say, okay, let's focus on a specific program, specific project, and figure out what's wrong with it. Where is it? Plan to be, how much is it costing us, where does it need to be, and how do we get from point A to point B with the least amount of risk and the most benefits. And this has shown some really good use. I mean, I think I've heard a lot of good feedback from CIOs who've gone through them. They kind of dread going through them. It's like a test. Oh no, what am I going to be faced with?
It's a little bit like getting your teeth drilled. I mean, it's about that kind of joy.
Well, but at the end, you come back on, you go, you know what? This is going to help me. This is going to make us a better agency and make this project better. And sometimes you need that third party to come in and say, you know, Scott and I can almost see eye to eye, but if Chris comes in and acts as that independent third party, it makes things actually that much clearer.
And sometimes it gets everybody, the deciders around the table, and you can sort of say, okay, well, here's the problem. The IT shop isn't talking to the financial shop. You guys need to fix that. Or things like, they've come up with, from what I've heard from some of these things, it's actually been, people come out of it feeling better than they went into it.
Correct. And having OMB being that forcing function makes a big difference.
And the other part of these tech stats sessions that I hear about is that they're focused on solutions And okay, do you have even the amount of resources you need to get these projects completed?
Right. They'll say, does it make sense for you to do this project if you only have $100 million, you need $500 million? Well, maybe we should stop and figure out, okay, what can we do for the money you have or the resources you have versus what's the big elephant that you're trying to eat? And that's why they talk about that in Scott, in your piece, they talk about smaller bites, milestones every 6 or 8 months, you know, 10, 12 to 24 month projects.
Audits every few quarters instead of every few years is one thing you said.
That's a big difference too, because that way you know when you're having problems, you know how to fix them more quickly.
Scott, I know that Jeffrey Zients talks about actually putting, they've put holds on programs. They've killed programs, which is a little bit new in the government space. A lot of times these things end up having a half-life. Nothing ever dies. Mm-hmm. They've actually killed things.
And they're going to continue to do that. I think the number he threw out was 121 program terminations, saving about $17 billion this fiscal year. The next fiscal year, he said President Obama's proposed an additional 126 program cuts, totaling what could be as much as $23 billion.
Remember, the key word there is proposed.
Yes.
And Congress still needs to approve.
Of course.
And I think one of the big hiccups that I remember from your piece that ran this morning on the Federal Drive was the fact is he wants to change budgeting. Well, if Apple can make the iPhone in 24 months, well, it takes 24 months to get a budget. Well, he doesn't bring up the fact that you're not in charge of the budget, Mr. Yeah. Zients.
Apple doesn't Neither have a board of directors. It's got like what is the number?
535 boards of directors. Yeah. So I think that I think there's some really good parts to this. The program management piece, the tech stat piece, the fact that they're asking for agile software development and agile development more broadly. What they're missing is the congressional piece, which is the same problem the last administration had, and I bet the administration before them, till you get Congress to agree to accept this
and probably
approach.
after them.
Yes,
all the way back to cynical,
Mr. Washington.
Right. I mean, not to be too cynical, but yeah. A lot of these problems exist because there are outstanding disagreements about how to proceed on these issues.
Correct.
And that's not easily going to go away.
And until you figure out how to get Congress to agree with you on this specific issue, you're still going to fight a pretty big uphill battle. One last point is there are ways to work around it, not work around Congress, but work around the issue of these budgets. Now, the last administration used something called the Clinger-Cohn letter. Unfortunately, that's like the last hammer to fall down. That's like your last resort. Maybe that's something that they should consider.
We were talking, one of the things that surprised me about these is that a lot of these ideas have been talked about for years, doing things in smaller chunks, and yet it seems difficult to do.
I think part of that is because it's that scope creep plus, yeah. You want to get something done, you know you got to plan for it, you know you got to ask for all your money at once, because if you only ask for a little bit, the next section of money may never come. And then the administration may change, or your secretary may change, or your boss may change. Then all of a sudden the lack of stability causes you to go, well, if I don't ask for the $100 million today, if I only ask for $20 million today, I may never get the other $80 million to get the project done. So I think that's a piece of it.
Scott, one of the things that Jeffrey Zients talked about was increasing the lines of communication between government and industry.
Right. And of course, this was an industry breakfast, and they were all very pleased to hear some of that. And we'll be talking about this in the weeks and months to come, I'm sure. But OMB's head of procurement, Dan Gordon, who actually we had in our show last week,
Thursday,
he'll be leading what he calls a myth-busting campaign. That's to publicize guidance for how agencies can engage with industry and try to come up with solutions. And they've also got some other plans that would ensure broader industry collaboration to help agencies manage projects through from the beginning to the end of its from the its beginning to its end.
Yeah. Well, Jason, one of the challenges here is that it's hard to say, okay, we want to bring industry in and then also talk about insourcing, because industry, my perception is they're backing off a little bit, because if you're going to take our people, we're going to keep some information closer. We're not going to have the same kind of open relationship if you're going to go through this insourcing. We're competing with you.
In many ways, that's what's happening. And what's two things about having Dan Gordon kind of go out there. The first thing is, I think one of the first things you'll hear him talk about at, he's speaking December 9th at the National Contract Management Association. Right. And it'll be very interesting to see how he addresses this issue, because he'll get to both industry and government crowd there. The second piece of that, the Professional Services Council issued their survey, and this insourcing issue, this communication issue was a really big issue in the survey, and it ended up saying things are not as clear as you think they are, and they're not as easy flowing as they once were almost. And you know, one of the interesting things was Luke Crenshaw from Grant Thornton spoke. He was one of the co-chairmen of the survey, and he said, you know, I went through a recent debriefing after a losing bid, and I said, well, tell me why I lost. Well, because the other, you know, better value, right, better price. I know that, but what did I do wrong? I can't tell you that. And the concern about bid protest is so great. So it goes back to the other point that Mr. Zients made about oversight. If you still have all this oversight, you're still concerned about not making sure all your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted. And it's almost a snowball effect that's happening. And it'll be interesting to see if OMB can, I don't want to say pull back oversight, but I don't know, what's the word? Take the weight off some shoulders? I mean, make it so you can make mistakes.
He pointed to some seven different levels of oversight within some agencies before it even could get to the ground floor. And he was genuinely frustrated with that. At least he seemed to. And of course, coming from industry, I guess that would make sense.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, part of the challenge is how do you do this we talked to Dan Gordon on Thursday about this. He sort of discounted the survey results because he said there were very small people, number of people. I'm not quite sure I totally buy that. I tend to hear this a lot that people are very, very concerned. And part of this is that question of inherently governmental. What is inherently governmental? I still don't think it's quite clarified.
Well, I think going back to the survey, 33 people is very small,
right,
but it's the who in this case. I think that's what matters, and the amount of time it was spent. But I know we're not debating the survey per se. The idea, though, is there are concerns about not only the communication, but the oversight and how much I'm not allowed to take risks, because I feel like if I take a risk and I mess up, this is what happens. And this is something, again, we've heard beyond this survey, but many times over the last decade, the amount of risk and innovation, it really is starting, well, not starting, has been decreasing because of that fear of protests, a fear of getting, you know, called before Capitol Hill and no one having your back.
And part of this all is, we talked to Steve Kelman, Tech America got this panel together to look at their recommendations, and their general focus is, part of it is the budget issue here. The budget takes so long to get things passed, it becomes very problematic to do things in a very agile way.
And that goes back to Zients' thing about, we're going to get this done more quickly if Apple can do it. As Scott said, Apple doesn't have 535 boards of directors who, you know, want what they want.
Scott, you were there on Friday. What was the general feeling in the audience? As you say, mostly industry. It's the Northern Virginia Technology Council.
Oh, yeah, packed house, and they received it extremely well. There was enthusiasm, palpable enthusiasm from a couple of people asking questions.
And generally, I mean, my sense is industry wants to help. They sometimes, I mean, there's also a lot of folks who have heard this before, and so it's not all that new to them.
One thing we're going to want to keep an eye on, maybe in the days down the road here, are powers that the CIOs have. One thing that he pointed to is he anticipated there'd be naysayers to each one of his points, of course. But what he tried to do was tie in one agency that had an example of a system that was working. One of them was at the VA, where the Veterans Administration, the CIOs got the ability to reprogram the appropriated funds at the beginning of every fiscal year, and not all CIOs can
and
do
Jason,
that.
And Jason, at the GCN Gala, Roger Baker made an impassioned plea.
Right.
He said, if you really want to make changes in IT management and IT procurement, the CIO has to have spending authority.
And beyond Roger, there aren't very many that have them. Maybe DHS over $1 million. I'm not sure who else.
Yeah, no, it's very, I mean, very few places.
There's only a few. And then I think that's the point that, again, is OMB going to tackle? There have been some rumors out there about a potential memo trying to give CIOs more power. I haven't heard much about it in a long time, and I haven't seen anything about it. So I'm not sure if it's still you know, kind of percolating out there, or if it's, you know, something that's been put on the back shelf.